This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for joining me. On Thursday, in about 100 cities across the country, fast food workers rallied to demand a higher minimum wage. So far, companies like McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King and their corporate overlords have not been willing to budge on this, nor have companies like Walmart and others. But in particular, it's the fast food industry that seems to be pushing the envelope a little bit each time they have these kind of rallies. But can they have any kind of success? And is it time to raise the minimum wage from 7.25, which is where it's been since the federal government set it there at 2009? Here to discuss this once again, I've called upon Rick Newman, who writes about business and the economy for Yahoo Finance. Hi, Rick. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Paul.
Do they have a chance of getting their wages raised?
I think they do have a chance, but not necessarily in the way you might think. What I don't think is likely to happen is I don't think any single company is going to raise its own wages just because of protests. That's just not really the way the free market works, and these are all companies that have competitors. So for the workers at McDonald's to get paid more, but not the workers at Burger King or Wendy's or even some smaller restaurant down the street, that puts McDonald's at a competitive disadvantage. And the CEO's job, remember, the CEO's job is not to pay workers the most he can. It's to safeguard the value of the company and respond to shareholders. His obligations are to shareholders. What might happen is that these protests bring light to something that enough people think needs to happen. And I think it's plausible we could see new laws passed that raise the minimum wage, which is a different thing altogether, because that raises it for everybody. And that's actually an easier thing to do. And it's worth keeping in mind that we talk a lot about the federal minimum wage, but there are almost 20 states that have set a minimum wage that's higher than the federal level. So to some extent, I think these protests are targeted at state capitals. Yep. As well as at these particular companies.
And you also have municipalities, New York City, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, and in particular, SeaTac, which is a city outside between Seattle and Tacoma, thus the name, which essentially is just really a location for the airport there.
Right.
They recently raised the minimum wage in SeaTac by public referendum to $15 an hour.
That's right. I think if anybody thinks, oh, that means I'll be able to get $15 an hour in my town, I think that's very unlikely to happen. Those are very isolated examples. The San Francisco airport is another one where they have had a higher minimum wage. But those are kind of unusual or even unique scenarios, because an airport is not a fast food chain. I mean, it's important to have morale matters a lot at an airport. Security is a concern at an airport. Turnover is a big concern at an airport. And that's an instance where it's really in the interest of the people managing those things to reduce turnover and do more to keep the employees they have working. It's different in the retail industry. I mean, this has always been a high turnover business. The businesses are almost built that way. And, it's worth keeping in mind that a lot of minimum wage jobs used to be entry-level jobs for teenagers and for young people, and they would have to keep those jobs for a while and move on. And what has changed is we've now got more older people who are in those jobs. That tells you how much some people are struggling these days. And I think that's where some of this pressure is coming from. It's not just young people who are going to move into a better job sometime soon. It's older people who are sort of stuck in these jobs.
It seems to me it's also in the public interest to have these people paid more, have laws passed that make companies pay them more, because there's data from the Census Bureau that says that 52% of fast food workers in America are on at least one form of public assistance, Medicaid or food stamps or the earned income tax credit. So we are kind of subsidizing these people, not by the price of our burgers and fries, but through these public assistance programs. And if we paid them a little bit more, maybe they get to a living wage where not only will they not need that public assistance, but they then have some money to turn around and put back into the economy themselves, right?
I think that's a fair point, but it's very hard to say what's the threshold here. So if the federal minimum wage is $7.25, it might be in the public interest for it to be higher than that, but how much higher? Should it be $9, $10, $15? It's also in the public interest that companies can afford to hire people, and I think there's a lot of hyperventilating. This claim is somewhat overblown, that if you raise the minimum wage by 1 cent, oh my God, businesses that suddenly they won't hire anybody. But at some point, you know, the wage would get high enough that that would actually happen. So, you know, we've got some real difficult questions in the economy right now. That, you know, the real problem here, Paul, isn't the what's happening at the entry level. It's what's happening above the entry level, which is why too many people are not moving out of these jobs. I mean, we are not creating enough of the types of jobs we need for people like this to get ahead. So we're seeing it reflected at these low levels, but there's a much bigger problem than simply what people in entry-level jobs are getting paid.
No, absolutely. The middle class is getting squeezed big time in this country. But to the question of how much should it be, I worked at McDonald's when I was in college, 1976. I was making $2.30 an hour. If you were just to take inflation into effect, if you were to raise that as much as the inflation rate had said, right now that wage would be $9.60 an hour. The current minimum wage of $7.25 went into effect 4 years ago. It's not pegged to the inflation rate, as many other things are at the federal level. Wouldn't it be fair to just say, you know what, as life costs more, you're going to make more?
Yeah, and that would also do away with a lot, you know, these periodic political battles over whether to raise the minimum wage. But, you know, part of the negotiation over the minimum wage in Washington is always, you know, let's say it's conservatives who want to retain the ability to, you know, keep the minimum wage under control, if you will, and liberals who would love to do exactly what you just said, which is index it to inflation and just have it go up automatically so it keeps pace with inflation. You're right. The minimum wage has fallen behind inflation. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons there is a reasonable chance we will see an increase in the minimum wage. Polls show that the majority of Americans and even the majority of Republicans actually favor an increase in the minimum wage. Now, it depends what you ask them it should be. I think if you said, should it be raised to $15 an hour, you'd get a lot less support. But when you say $9 or $10 an hour, they say, yeah, that seems reasonable. So what that tells you is this is not like Obamacare where there is fervent opposition to raising the minimum wage. And, this is not an issue where it makes sense for Republicans in Congress to say, over my dead body, it's never going to happen. They've got constituents who would like to see it happen. So that I think that makes it somewhat likely it will.
Yeah. Also, the evidence from the past, every time the minimum wage has been raised, we heard all of these warnings. Oh, that's going to cost jobs. That's going to cost jobs. And the evidence shows that didn't happen, that the job growth wasn't affected by the raise of the minimum wage long term. It may have been in the very short term because business owners make odd decisions sometimes. But the political fear mongering that goes on around this doesn't have a basis in fact.
I think that's fair to say. It would be nice if we could just find a middle ground and resolve the minimum wage issue and focus on what's the real problem, which is, as we discussed a moment ago, the economy is not creating the types of jobs that we need for people to be able to raise families and feel like they're getting ahead and save a little bit of money. You know, a lot of people disagree with President Obama's prescriptions for those problems, but he is generally right about how he has outlined the problem. We have, you know, the too many middle class people just don't see a pathway to get ahead. That is a very, very pernicious problem. And Washington doesn't have any solutions right now.
I do want to ask you about one non-fast food company that does pay a higher wage and is in a very competitive business, and that is Costco. They pay people higher wages. They don't force people to work on Thanksgiving, et cetera, and they're doing pretty well. Their stock price has gone up. Why don't other companies like Walmart follow that lead?
I think the difference is that Costco has a more clever business model. Costco doesn't really compete on price. You think they do. It's a discount club, but it doesn't really. And the fact that people actually pay an annual fee to be able to shop there tells you that it's really more of a value business model, and that's different from price. Walmart sells on price. I mean, their entire claim to fame is they offer the lowest prices you'll find anywhere, low price guarantee, all that kind of thing. McDonald's basically does the same thing. I mean, there's some branding clearly associated with McDonald's, but the dollar menu and things like that, they sell on price. And when you sell on price, You have to keep your costs as low as possible.
Yep.
So that's why, you know, McDonald's makes a lot of money. McDonald's is very profitable. It has a profit margin of something like 20%.
And those workers say, you know what, you're making so much money, you should pay us more. Rick Newman, a regular contributor to this show and a writer for Yahoo Finance. Always a pleasure. Thanks for your time today. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America.